I'm like, oh my God, it's the Queen's Club and it's me and nobody wants me. You were the only one that wanted me. I had to like,
and I really wanted you
today to get some calls in here.
It took me 4 days to be able to find a call I could get on.
That's hilarious. That was the only call that was like, that one had three empty spots.
I know. And the second it opened, I was on it.
No, you were the only one. Nobody else was on there. I was like, we're going to have a shorty tonight.
No, that means I just get you for a long time.
There you go. I'm sure we have plenty, right? Let me get my whiteboard. Sounds like we're going to be at go time. What are we coaching on?
Well, I had a really hard time Christmas Day with this whole thing with Dan and Amanda.
Yeah.
My daughter-in-law that doesn't like me.
Yes.
And I think Dan has, I don't know, is it called become estranged from us? He won't return phone calls. He won't answer texts. I didn't talk to him for Christmas or Thanksgiving, and found out they're pregnant due in June on Facebook. I was pretty devastated Christmas Day, but you know what I did about it?
What's that?
I journaled.
Good.
I was able to get back to my people because the rest of my family doesn't deserve that shit
right.
For me to be upset. So anyway, it works, guys.
Yeah, y'all should see her earlier calls. She was a mess.
And you know, my earlier call was 1 year ago in January.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but what I need to know is what do I do with this? I've actually, I think I'm done with this, but I called Dan after trying to text him for so long. Then I called him and I left him a message saying, just call and let us know. I mean, I left him a long message that said, you know, I love you, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then, about 8 days ago, I left him, 8 days before Christmas, I left him another message. I texted him and I said, Dan, I don't know what's going on with you, but would you please at least let us know you're okay? Let me know if you don't want me in your life anymore. Just let me know, okay? Because I would like to know this so I can move on with my life. And where should I go with this? Overall, I'm feeling pretty healthy about this.
Well, you are, but there's one part that you said, let me know so I can move on with my life. Do you need to know in order to move on with your life? Or can you just decide what this relationship is? Because remember, relationships are 100% on us. It's like,
I can just decide.
Do it.
And I have decided that... it's not going to do to me what it did to me last year.
Good.
So I have moved on. But, you know, then I think, well, God, when they have the baby, am I just going to show up at the door and say, hi? Or am I going to not even acknowledge this? I mean.
Well, what do you want to do?
Show up the door.
Show up at the door. Let him know. Congratulations.
I've tried two summers in a row to go see them by texting and giving them dates, and it never works. They're never available. So
what are you making all of this mean?
Well, what it really means is that to me, my son is 100% into his wife. He should be. And that their family is treating him like a god. And so he's mad at us because we didn't do everything he wanted us to do. And so she's just poisoned him and said, you know, your mom's a bitch. Just forget it. So in all honesty, it's Amanda's fault.
Well, that's the part of this whole story you have to work on.
Yeah.
Is this part. Is not laying blame and not constructing a story. That the reason why he doesn't want to be with us is because they treat him like a god and he's mad at us and all this other stuff. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if you know it's true or not. I know you know that's what you tell yourself. And I don't
know if it's true.
Yeah. And I don't think it's helpful. like when your son is not talking to you, because that's really all we got. Dan's not talking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to make it mean? He's basically like your bottom line thought is he's chosen another family over us. I mean, I don't know if that's what you think.
And they're not near as good.
I need a shorter sentence. Because if we try to write all that on the board, it's going to take us forever. But, you know,
no, don't.
This other family does all these things and blah, blah, blah. And this is why. What if it's just, he's just not choosing us right now?
Yeah, well, that is true.
And just leave it at that. Because if you kind of leave yourself open to the idea, it's like, he's just not choosing us right now. I'll keep choosing him.
Yes. Okay. I like that. I knew you'd be good.
I try to be. You know, I think we've coached around this. I mean,
we have a bit.
I'll say this. One of the things I'm very proud of you on, just because we have talked so much about your biggest issue always has been the story you create around the relationships in your life. And you started in the very beginning being very victimized by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You were constantly the victim of, like, even with your husband and him eating those, what is it, sausage sticks or whatever that Smacky loved. It was always, these people do things, I feel bad, I am the victim. And you're really not there anymore. You're very close to being completely out of it. There's a little bit of victimhood going on with, he chooses Amanda and he chooses them. Like, and I don't know if you're saying choose, but the short of it is being, if this wasn't happening, he wouldn't be this way.
Right.
Well, this is happening. We don't know how he would be. He could have been with a bigger raging bitch. We don't know. Meaning that anything other than just you being there for him, I think is great. But I just see so much growth. Oh my God, Deb, seriously. You are another one that this last year, I was talking to one of the other girls, Tina, today, that I have just watched change, call to call to call, because you can just really tell you're thinking about these concepts, you're internalizing them, and you're really trying to figure out how you can start truly changing how you are.
Mm-hmm.
And no one else has changed. Has your husband decided to quit eating snacks that we don't know of?
No.
This son situation is exactly the same as it's been. Nothing has really changed other than you. And I swear, Queen's Club, you should go back and look at some of her older videos. Even her facial presence is different.
Mm-hmm.
You can always tell.
I am a changed person. And whenever I talk about you, I say, you know what? She has gotten me mentally so healthy. And it is because of you, because I found you and I put up with your filthy language. I love that. No, I don't love it. But it cracks me up. It cracks me up that these people actually have the audacity to say, you know, you shouldn't stop swearing on your program. And then your response, I think, oh, good Lord, Corinne, how nice you are to these women. Jeez Louise.
So. Yeah, it's hilarious to me too. I'm like, oh my gosh, why do you stay? Like, I would never watch someone free on Facebook and them irritate me.
I know.
Oh my God, just get out.
Yeah. I agree. So if we have time.
We have four more. Everybody filled the spots up, but
they did.
5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to privately text you, but since I've got you on, I want to just ask you real quick, your thoughts on depression.
Yes.
I have been on depression meds for, 40 years now. And I used to take myself on and off, but I won't take myself off again because of the reaction I had to the medication. But I sometimes wonder, do you feel that everybody can get off medication? I mean, do you feel we shouldn't get off medication if we do our thought work and stuff like that?
I think it just depends. In my opinion, depression is so chemical. Like, it's like a blend of chemical plus, it would almost be like, well, I changed all my eating. Do you think I can get off my diabetes medication? It's like, I don't know.
Oh, great analogy.
Have to take diabetes medication and still lose all their weight, be healthy as a hog, and change their whole life. I think it's the same thing with depression and stuff. Like, I go through periods where I have to take meds again. It's like, I've managed my mind like a freaking ninja.
Yes, you do.
That's when I really feel like it can be very chemical. Like, you just, you know, like I sometimes think back to when I was so depressed as a teenager, and like, I'm pretty sure I needed medication and wasn't on medication. Because like, it went from like feeling bad to just, it felt out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when I really, like, in my mind, that's how it kind of proves the rule to me that it's not just your thought work. I think that I have always said this, though. I really believe that if you're going to be on medication, you should be doing thought work. You should be doing therapy or something, because medication can only rebalance chemicals, but it can't rebalance the thoughts.
Right.
You know, so anyway, that's kind of my two cents. But I mean, if it's working for you.
Oh, I'll never be off of it again.
Yeah, I was going to say, and please, God, all of you, never, like, I did that myself one time. I took myself off some meds, just like, I don't need this thing. I felt so good, whatever. It was one of the closest times I ever got back to going back to the darkest place ever. And I mean, it was a tailspin of disaster.
Oh, it was horrible for me for 3.5 weeks. And finally, like, the fifth medical person I went to said, I think you're having withdrawals. And
yes.
The other ones, I told everybody I was off of it. I told everybody, well, you know, I've been feeling so great, I took it off. But man, some bug has got me. And dummies.
Yeah, it's not one of those things that it's like, anything that you're doing that assists your brain, you should probably let a professional decide when and where to come off of that.
Yeah. Good idea. So, okay. Well, I'm going to go back and have to listen to this so I can hear what you told me.
All right.
So I can write it down, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's good seeing you, Missy. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, who's next? Miss Jennifer. I just love her. Y'all, I don't know if I ever told you, but she and I talked one night at one of the retreats. She reminds me so much of my grandmother. Like, she looks like my grandmother, talks like my grandmother. It's crazy to me. Hello, Missy.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Pretty good. I've still got issues, but you know.
Didn't you get a job?
Yes, I got a job.
I thought I remembered reading that. Okay, cool. Do you like it?
I do. I've done 3 days. And so
only 3 days? When did you get this job?
The end of December.
Okay, I was going to say, I didn't think I read this. Like, I was like, it's only been 3 days. My life is really moving.
And they said it was okay that I come to your camp. So, you know, we're good.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah. Don't be jacking.
Wow. Oh gosh. I'm still into the spending problem.
That was my next question. How's the finances working?
Well, I haven't gotten a paycheck yet. I have gotten enough gumption to talk to my husband.
Good.
And I asked him if he was going to take away my allowance now that I've got the job, and that if I need to spread out my money between bills and personal stuff. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, he would still give me my allowance. But I've gone ahead and I've canceled the cards that I had.
Okay.
And so now I just have to pay them.
Okay.
But I guess I don't want to go back into that spiral. Or maybe not spiral is the right word, but that urge to spend more money or open another credit card.
Why do you not want to experience that urge?
Because I give in. Okay, I have a hard time not giving in.
Right, but okay.
Okay.
You said, because I'm going to give in.
Mm-hmm. So I've already, yeah.
That's the only reason why you're afraid of it. Here's the thing, though, Jennifer, is you've got to start telling yourself, I'm the kind of person who's working on those urges. I'm the kind of person who no longer, like, I would really step into the identity of someone who is not an overspender. I am no longer an overspender. And I would tell myself that 5,000 times a day. Because in your brain, you're identifying as an overspender.
True.
And if you are, like an overeater. Yeah, and then you're afraid of temptation. You're afraid of urges and stuff. The one thing we know that's a constant, I don't know if you guys can see this weird thing on my screen. Let me move it. The one thing we know for sure is those urges are going to come. You cannot set your life up to never want to spend again, to never want to overeat again. You know, there's like, I don't mind you saying like, okay, I'm going to cut the cards up and I'm going to work on my debt and all this other stuff. That's a very like a focused mentality. But when you tell me that you're doing it because you're also afraid of these things, we want to make sure that we're setting ourselves up mentally in the mindset. Do not be the kind of person who cuts up cards and pays off debt because they're terrified they're always going to be an overspender.
Okay.
Every credit card will now start coming to you in the mail. They'll somehow figure out a way to come to you like while you're standing in line someplace. You'll go to Target. Mm-hmm. Would you like to open a card? Like,
yeah.
That's just going to happen.
Okay.
That's going to start, though, with you saying to yourself frequently, I am no longer an overspender. I am someone who's responsible with my money. And this is true. Mm-hmm. This is not bullshit. Just because you have spent money in the past doesn't, this is just like failed diets, just like overeating, binging, whatever. Just because you've done those things in the past does not mean that today that's who you are. Today, you are the kind of person who's financially responsible, the kind of person who's paying their debt off. You're the kind of person who gets a job. You're the kind of person who talks to their husband about your allowance so that you know how much money you're going to have. You're the kind of person who thinks about the urges that are coming up and what you're going to do about them. That is a financially responsible person. And that's the person I want you to believe that you are and teach yourself to believe that you are.
Okay. I will do that.
I can do that. You really need to do that.
Yes. Yeah. I've started seeing a therapist and told him I just want to be normal. And he was like, well, you are normal. I was like, well, I don't feel normal. But he was like, well, every other human being has debt. And what makes you so special? I was like, well, you know, I'm a unicorn.
Well, why are you not? But
yeah.
Why do you even want to be normal? Like in your mind, what is normal?
Being able to make decisions properly or not feeling like I'm a 16-year-old that doesn't know what's happening.
Okay.
Here I am 43 and I still feel like I have no control over anything.
Okay. So in order to be, this is what your therapist went wrong. No. Your therapist was right, except there, I want to take it to another level. I want you to define what normal is, and what you're really defining is this is who I want to be. Don't put stuff in there like I feel like a 16-year-old and blah, blah, blah. That's not who you want to be. Be really mindful of this practice. Who do you want to be? Describe that person. Mm-hmm. And then start telling yourself, this is the person I'm becoming. This is the person I'm working towards. There's not going to be anything on that list that you probably can't already find evidence for that you're doing right now.
Oh, okay.
You don't need to justify having debt and stuff. You just have debt. Like, I don't... Like, I want you to look at this. You have to tell yourself, your circumstance is your debt and however much debt you have. Mm-hmm. That's all you have. Now, if the thought normal people have debt allows you to feel normal, allows you to feel okay, like the playing field is level, I think that's a great thought. Eventually, you could also say your thought could be, I want to be above normal. I want to have no debt.
Right.
And that's the result I'm going after. No debt. I'm the kind of person who doesn't need debt anymore. But you don't even have to. You could be the kind of person who's like, to me, a normal person has this amount of debt.
Okay. Yeah.
But normal is what you decide it is. And that's really not saying it's normal. It's because there is, it's, he's right. There's really no normal. Yeah. There's just
True.
The person you want to be.
Okay.
So focus on her and how you're going to get there, little steps you need to do to get there. And then be like, and I'm this person that I've been, we're retiring this one. This version has been used and we don't need her anymore.
Okay.
She can offer advice at best.
Okay. I can do that. So more TDLs.
More TDLs. I'm going to tell you, they're good. But I always love Queen's Club because it's like the people I've got the coach like through the years. I feel like Kenny Rogers through the years over here. You're another one that you can tell you do the work. As you come in here, you know your problems. You're actively working on them. You're taking massive action. You're having conversations that, you know, a few months ago you weren't willing to have. You were terrified of having this stuff. Now you're having them because you're owning where you've been and you're not villainizing this one. You may be frustrated and tired of it, but you're starting to step into where you want to go more than hating where you're at, which is always a very good sign.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sprinkling love everywhere today. All right. Okay. See you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Bye. I've talked to several people today I'm going to see soon. Stephanie! I'm from China. God, I still can't get used to your new name. All right. DD, you're next. My celebrity's banging it out. Look at us. Just solving problems left and right. Dee Dee, you better not have big problems. Just joking. You have big problems, I hang up on you.
I was like, wait a minute.
What are we coaching on?
Well, I just signed up about an hour ago. When you put out the post earlier today and said, hey, and then by the time I saw it, I was like, oh, it's full again. Somebody had to cancel. So I'm like, whoop, okay, I'm running in. I think, and today's been a successful day, and I think my brain is going more into, all right, we're going to figure this out. It's okay that you've not lost any weight this year. You've been you've been in the tribe for a year. You know, I had lap band. I'm a recovering lap band person. I'd lost over 100 pounds. I'd gained 30 pounds back, and then I found P&P. And just the struggles for the year and that discouragement and shame that was really – between Christmas and New Year's was just really weighing on me, but I got to hang on. I got to get in there and just, so I'm realizing that I don't like to sit with discomfort, and I've been hearing you talk more about it. And I think I'm thinking more and more that that's what I've got to learn how to sit with and work with is I don't like to be uncomfortable. You know, I'm the Scarlett O'Hara. I don't want to worry about that today. I don't want to think about that today. I don't want to, let's do something else and not think about that. So
what is discomfort like for you? Like, tell me the last time that you were faced with sitting in discomfort and you're like, this is bullshit. There's no way we're doing this one.
Maybe discomfort's not the word, but like for December work was, there were a lot of balls in the air, lots of busyness, and I would find myself, you know, hop into the vending machine or, oh, I got to have lunch now because I'm not going to have lunch later. And even though I'm not real hungry, and I mean, I can have lunch anytime I want to at work. I'm not a scheduled luncher. So I'd catch myself, I found realizing that I've done those types of things or I really don't want to deal with that thought, whatever it may be. Sitting at home alone.
When do you overeat the most? Like, if you were going to clean up one area of overeating, which one would it be? If I could say, like, all right, we're only going to clean up one, and we're not cleaning up the others. We're going to let them ride.
I probably, when I overeat the most, is I'm on the way home. I don't want to go home. It's maybe been a stressful day, or I've deemed it stressful, so I'm going to pull in and have a beer, and then I'll eat. And or if I don't eat there, I'll come home and just find anything that I can to eat. So that's probably when I overeat the most.
So, and it's in reaction to your day?
Yeah, usually. Or, you know, is it I don't want to go home and be alone? I think it's mostly in reaction to my day. Or well, I don't want to have to think about what's
going on. Why not just go home and then be like, I hate on this day? I hate on this day.
Hate on this day.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, literally, why not just go home and not like that you had a, that you just like, this was a bad day.
So I don't like that feeling.
Well, you've got two choices.
I think I got to do something to either not be a bad day or not think about it being a bad day.
Right. You can rewrite the story of the bad day, or if you're not ready to rewrite the story of what you're telling yourself about your work and everything, then you're going to have to sit there with your shitty thoughts.
Yeah. Or it's avoiding doing, you know, I've worked all day and there's stuff I need to do for home or.
Oh, all right. So this is what I was wondering. Are you coming home and then working more? Is your job that bad, or is it that you dread? Because twice now you.
I don't want to be at work. I don't bring work at home, but I do think about, well, there's stuff I need to do back at work, but I don't bring it home to work on it.
No, I'm talking about your job. Like, is it that bad?
Or
or you just dread what you have to do when you get home? And I'm not talking about work, just the work of home. Like, whatever, what are you doing at home that you're like, well, there's shit to do and I don't want to do it?
You know, as much as I'm trying to work on losing weight, I'm also trying to work on my financial status. I need to be, you know, looking at that. I need to be decluttering. I've gotten a much better handle on that. I have a maid coming in, but it's still, I mean, it's just me and it's a mess.
You need to do work around that stuff. And I don't mean start decluttering. The reason why you're eating is because you're dreading what you got to do when you get home. Mm-hmm. All right. So you need to get a healthy relationship with that. I think right now you probably have a very shameful story about your debt. You might even, is that the truth or am I just blowing smoke up your butt?
I do. The other part of it is that my mother passed away this year and got a very nice inheritance. And I'm worried about that being blown because I don't handle things well, you know, and the shame around that or making sure it's going to not be blown.
What if it was?
What if it was blown? Oof.
I mean, you're blowing it right now by not doing anything with it. Along with your dreams of losing weight, you're blowing everything up because you are avoiding. The worst that's happening right now is you're confused by it.
Yeah, with the money, scared to make some decisions, but yeah.
But why are you scared? Are you scared because you're going to like potentially lose the money?
Yeah. That, you know, I'm looking into, do I do some rental property? Do I go ahead and buy a house? What do I do with this? You know, some long range plans to make sure that money makes money. It's sitting in a Morgan Stanley account now and it's doing well. I mean, it's not doing well right now, but you know, it's safe there for me spending it, but can I make something better out of it if I do some real estate investing or get out of me renting and buy a house? And I don't know that that's all of it. It's just that this, the whole year is that consuming all this information and not being able to have what I figure a positive outcome.
I'm going to tell you right now, though, the problem isn't four basics. Here's your problem. When you look at that money, you feel inept. You feel confused and you feel scared. And you're wondering why every day when you come home from work, you're wanting to go drink a beer and eat. Because if the one thing you have to do when you get home is look at something that makes you feel inept, scared, and confused, you're probably not going to race right into that one. That's an old school phone. I'll tell you what, get some of that money and go get another phone. Just joking.
No, it's just the ring on my cell phone. Sorry, I thought I had it turned
off. Damn, I was waiting for like that old one where. Yeah. But that is why you're not applying the concepts. You need to not be ashamed that you've done this whole year and all this other stuff. You need to be glad. You have not lost any weight to show you what you're really worried about. A lot of us hang on to our dieting and our weight and stuff so that we have a problem to avoid another problem. I think you're hanging on to your weight stuff so that you don't have to work on this money thing that really scares you. Hmm. What if you just leave it there? Like, this is what I would decide if I was you. What if we just said, we're either going to lose weight or we're going to figure out this money, but we're not doing both at the same time. We get to work on one thing. Which one would you rather solve? And I'm not saying that if you work on the money that you gain weight. We're just not going to prioritize weight loss. But if you pick.
Well, I feel like I need to address both, and I would much rather work on it. I would much rather work on my weight than work on this money.
Okay. Then this is what I would tell you to do. Park that money. You don't think about it anymore. You don't think about real estate. You don't get to think about a new house. You don't get to do anything for 6 months while you just work on your weight. How long has that money been sitting in that Morgan Stanley account?
It came to me in July, but it's been in mom's for some time.
Yeah, so history shows there's no blowing it. If it just stays where it's at, the reason why I want you to constrain is because you haven't figured out your mental bullshit enough to work on two major things that scare you at the same time. You're not going to suddenly become a fiscally responsible person who needs to understand money and real estate and investments and all this other kind of stuff, which is going to be require a lot of mind management, emotional management, feeling scared, feeling very confused, feeling like a lot of motivation to figure shit out, learn new things, and be not have your food triggers and your beer triggers sitting right there waiting for you. So if you want to figure out the money stuff, then we need to like get a maintenance plan in place. But if you want to figure out the weight stuff, we park the money, we figure out the weight stuff so that it no longer becomes a crutch for when you move to the next thing that's going to be confusing and scary and need you to figure it out and stick with it and all that other kind of discomfort. What do you think?
I mean, there's a fear that I'll miss my opportunity if I put the money down now. But
opportunity, what opportunity do you have that you're missing out on? Tell me your opportunity.
You know, I've got a realtor that we're starting to look at properties, and I guess I can't say I'm just putting it off for 6 months and go that, and all I gotta do is tell her no. But,
will there be property for sale in 6 months?
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I would manage your mind on. Do you want to focus on the idea that you might miss opportunities or that there will be plenty of opportunity when you're ready?
Well, I'd like to focus on that there'll be plenty of opportunity when I'm ready or that it'll happen at the right time.
I don't even think things happen at the right time. I think we make shit happen. Hmm. When you're ready to do something and you make decisions, guess what happens? Things start happening. Right now you're making no decisions. You're anguishing. You will feel better if you just make some very clear decisions. And tell yourself, I keep talking about this. There's no right or wrong decision. There's just, this is what I'm going to do. And then for 6 months, I'm going to focus on this thing. And everything else stays the way it is. I'm not missing anything. Here's the thing. You're determined to think you're going to miss opportunity. You may miss making a tragic mistake. You have just as equal opportunity to fuck it up as you do to get it right.
Well, that's
you might. Yeah. I wouldn't let that be a fear. I would just be like, I'm not going to sit around thinking about stuff I'm missing out on. I'm going to sit here and think about it. I'm going to clean my shit up so that when I'm ready to make a decision, I have my back on my decisions. Right now, when you're going to make a decision based out of fear, if anything goes wrong, you will convince yourself it was the worst thing you ever did and it was all your fault. you've got to become the kind of person that makes a decision, and no matter what happens, you know that you have your back and that you can overcome and do anything. And you can learn that either with money, you can learn that with weight loss, you can learn that with anything.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about making a decision between one or two. Is everybody's talking about we're making goals, and I'm thinking more than two's about got me off the edge already. On some, like, okay, top two things that are important is one is I want to lose weight, and so maybe I'm on that path. I had too many other goals, and I just even need to say the one, like you talked with the vision board class, is that focus on the one thing that's most important.
You know, my mentor, Brooke, do you ever listen to her podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she only allows us one. We get one goal a year.
Oh, wow.
I have to show up next week with my one goal. And she makes us brainstorm a page load of them. And then she says, now you get to pick one. And that's all we get to work on. And it's the best thing you'll ever do for yourself. Because you'll go all in and you'll learn skills that you can apply to other goals. And then if you finish this one up fast, guess what you get to do?
Start the next one.
Yeah. So let's do weight loss. I think weight loss is good.
Yeah, I think that's the one that's more important to me.
I think so too. You've been in here a year. You've been, you know,
yeah.
It's just time. And I want you to, like, change your mindset about this year. Has this year been a, I forget what you didn't call it a waste, but you called it, I think at one point maybe you said you've wasted your time. Not that PNP is not good.
No, that I had not made the most use of it. I had not been, I had not done the work. I truly believe that it works. I just didn't, I mean, I had lost 15 pounds and I've gained 12 of it back. So,
I just want you to use this year as the year that proved to you that you're ready. I really don't like it when you guys focus and think about what didn't happen for you. I always want you trying to figure out a way to make it be like, everything has set me up now for that next level. Because that's really the only, otherwise you stay small.
Okay.
It's not just telling, like somebody said the other day, he's like, well, am I really just trying to make myself feel better? I said, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, I heard that. It's like,
yeah, I was like, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing here. We're trying to feel better so that we act better, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard that the other morning. I was like, oh, yeah. Because sometimes we get guilty for trying to, or I get guilty for trying to be pie in the sky. I'm like, well, it makes me feel better to think that than to think this is just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we want to call ours. Like, if I was you, I would look at this last year and say, here are the things I didn't do. Why didn't I do them? It was because I told myself this story and stuff. That's exactly what I need to know going into this year, because that's going to be the same thing that will happen this year. The same stories will play out, the same thoughts, the same. That's why I was talking to Jennifer about she didn't want to have to deal with those urges to spend. Like, why? Because you're going to have the same thing. Whatever, like, stopping at the bar is for sure going to be what you're going to want to do. Every single time you come home and you think about cleaning a closet out, it's always going to come. And it's, are you going to step into telling yourself, I'm the kind of person now that drives on by?
Yeah.
And just tell yourself, today is the day I'm going to drive by. And I'll think about tomorrow. But we for sure can wait 24 hours for a beer. You know, like, I have these conversations with myself all the time. And eventually they get to where they're not exhausting. And in the very beginning, they are. And then after a while, it's just more like it's passerby things. You have the conversations pretty fast. And then you forget it. Like you forget you even had the thought. That's the amazing thing. It's like I'm constantly like triggered to want to have wine or eat or whatever. And then I'll tell myself, no, we didn't put that on the plan. And then the next thing I know, I've gotten busy doing something else. Whereas I used to have to sit there and be like, talking myself off the ledge. I'm going to sit here in my discomfort and I'm going to, you know, that's why it is in the beginning. And then you get good at it. And then it's like, your brain's like, oh, I guess we're not doing that today. What do we want to think about now? You know?
So, yeah.
All right. Work on your weight loss.
All right.
You know what to do. Four basics.
Yep.
Get in there.
I'm a 2-dayer at camp. Yay.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
January.
Yes, for January. I'm coming. For two
all right. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Wednesday. Yeah, 2 weeks in the morning. We'll all be crying. It only took me like 30 seconds to get it started last time. Chris came by to drop something off. I can't even remember what. I'd left something at home and we had just started. Like I literally 1 minute in, he walked in the back to like the door was in the back. He walked in to give me something. Half the room was bawling and he handed it to me. He said, well, I'm out, ladies. He was like, too much estrogen for me. All right.
Thank you.
See you in 2 weeks then.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Bobby Ritchie, you're next. I'm hungry. Damn. We'll tell y'all right now. I'm legit at my -2, if not lower. Not joking. Like, I don't know if y'all can hear it through this mic, but my belly is a growling down here. Oh, Bobby, I didn't promote you. I thought I did. There we go. Mr. Crabtree's not home. I was wanting to have dinner with him, but probably not going to tonight. I'm not waiting on his slow ass. Where'd you go, Bobby? Raise your hand again, Bobby. I think you turned yourself off. I'm a little sleepy, as you can tell. need to go to bed tonight.
Oh, hi. Sorry. I'm driving around. I thought I'd be home. Kids at basketball games. I'm going to get parked. I didn't even see me on the screen.
Well, I don't want you to wreck.
Oh, no. I'm just in a parking lot. I can totally do this. I Marco Polo all the time in the car.
Oh, my God. You be careful doing that shit. All right. So we'll be coaching on.
I got this little thing, see?
Can you? Oh, I have one of those.
Yeah. All right, let me pull over. Here we go.
All right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's all right.
Okay, so I thought I'd just do this at camp, and then I saw today that you had some openings. And long story short, I used to be able to exercise. I have fibromyalgia, which is fine, and then sometimes – so I exercise and that seemed to help.
Okay.
And mostly I ended up just walking. I walked a lot, like, you know, 5 to 11 miles about, you know, 6 times a week or whatever. I love
it. That's a lot of walking.
Yeah. Well, it was wonderful and it's a good stress reliever and it helped all the pain and the mental and the depression, and the anxiety and all of the things. And then like 4 years ago, I started to get this pain in my leg. It was real bad. So I'd take a break. And anyway, I need back surgery. I have a compressed nerve that goes right to my leg. So I can't stand for very long periods of time in one spot. I can't walk at all. I can't even just take a nice slow walk. I mean, there's no fix. So I was told last year I needed spinal fusion and I wasn't going to do it. But this year I went back and met with another surgeon last month. And he said the same thing, but basically, so I kind of had hope. I had a small piece of hope, but basically, whoops, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Almost, it's about a 5% chance of helping me. It's not worth it in any way. The nerve has been compressed for 4 years. My leg could go numb permanently. It's not there now. I've just adapted my life to not have that pain.
Okay.
And it sucks. So the point is, you know, I'm in the tribe and I love it and I'm almost at goal and I've made some best friends, but I'm in there and 99% of the time, well, no, let's not exaggerate, 85% of the time I'm okay. And I know I have a good life and that I can do things. I'm still active. You know, I'm not I clean all the time and I run my kids around and I can do stuff. But I get in this dark place sometimes where I'm like, oh, look, they're training for this. Oh, look, everybody's doing this. Like, I just get pissy. And I don't want to say I'm jealous of them, but I think I have a little pity party for myself. Like, you know, nobody knows how hard it is for me. And I, you know, everybody's like, oh, I was so pissed off, I took a walk. Oh, well, good for you. You know, I can't do that. And I don't like it when my mind goes there, because I logically know all the things that I can do and I should be grateful because people have it worse. But once in a while, and then I just withdraw and I don't like it. So I want you to give me some thought or some question or do something so I don't get, I just don't like it. I'm not that negative person, and I'm happy for all the people who can do it, but I just get sad for myself sometimes. And it's like grieving the old me.
Well, why can't you just do that?
Do what?
Like, why can't you just have like 15% of your life where you notice that you feel sad that you can't do some stuff?
I don't know. It just feels negative. I don't like it.
It is negative. That's called part of life.
Right.
You're just, and here's the thing. If I can get you first to be okay with the idea of, I'm not going to be able to tell you how to stop it.
Right. Okay.
Like, that's not going to happen. We all are so, I'm sorry. My husband's texting me crazy shit.
Okay.
Driving in the rain and texting me, and I'm like, why are you doing this? There's nothing that is important right now. Like, right. My brain's fixing to go to the doo-doo pile. But one of the things I think a lot of you want to do is like, well, I don't want to have these negative thoughts anymore. And I think it's okay to sometimes, like I'll give you a good example. There are just days that, like, I wish things were easier for Logan.
Right.
But I don't sit there and beat myself up over it. And I don't sit there and get pissed that I think it. What I do is I notice that I do. And I have compassion for myself that not every day I'm supposed to be rainbows and daisies about stuff.
Okay.
And most of the time, though, I look at it very optimistically. I look at it like, this is not a big deal. We're figuring it out. Then every now and then, though, just like, I'm just a mama.
Right.
And sometimes, Bobby, you're just a human.
Okay.
And maybe that's what you just tell yourself, is like, this is one of those times I'm just being a human.
Right. Okay. I just hate feeling bad for myself, and like, you know, because I knew if I could just take a walk, you know, you get up at 5:30 and it's sunny and beautiful out, and you're like, oh, everything in me wants to just go outside and do that, and I can't. And then
can you do yoga?
I've tried Tai Chi, and I'm thinking about trying yoga, but you know, I had a recumbent bike, or I bought a new one, and there's something wrong with my knee too, and I'm like a lemon.
Well, that's a thought you need to drop. You're not a lemon.
Sometimes I feel like that, but I do know it's just a thought. So
yeah, just say like, I just have things with my body.
Right.
And sometimes I'm not going to get to do the things I want.
So maybe I should try yoga.
I'm just saying, like, if you notice it's pretty outside and it's sunny and stuff, rather than dwelling on the idea that you can't walk, just go sit outside.
Right.
Say, I can always meditate. Last thing I check, my brain ain't broke. Right. And if it is, meditation will help it.
Right.
I mean, like, but you can only get to that point of taking that kind of action when you don't feel bad for yourself.
Okay.
When you have compassion for yourself, that you're human, and that there will always be things out there that you want to do, and you're just like everybody else. This is just your stuff that you don't get to do.
Right. And I have,
like, I don't get to have beautiful long hair like you.
Well, that makes me feel better, because I have my friends, and you know, in the Hot Mess Express, and they hate to see me when, you know, we just share everything, and they hate to see me do this. And Melanie was like, you need to do this at camp. And then I saw today that you had an opening. So I was like, oh, I'll just jump on that. So It makes me feel better that you say, you know, just let yourself be sad. Just don't let it, you know, just don't let it be all consuming.
Yeah. Well, and don't let it be a bad thing that you're sad.
Okay.
It's like you have thoughts on top of your thoughts. Like, right. It's like, it's, you know, today is a day that I feel bad for my body. And then your thought, like, that's your circumstance. And then your thought is, this is bullshit. I don't want to think this stuff anymore. It makes me angry.
Right.
It's like, let's drop that part and just be like, today, let's just me and my depression is a really good example. The days I wake up and I'm just like, just bleh. Like, tomorrow's likely to be the day. Starting my period tomorrow, almost every single time I start my period, I swear it triggers something in me. I don't want to get out of bed. I feel gross. Chris looks at me. I'm like, bah! You know, this is terrible.
Right.
But
you know, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, those are one of those days where I literally am just like, this is just part of it. This is not, like, I don't have to make it worse. This is one of those days I don't want to be depressed, but I am. So now what? It's like loose skin and scars and your knees and your back and stuff like that. It's like we all have our things, and they either can consume us and we hate that we don't like them, or we hate what it takes away from us, even if it's a small part of our life, or we can have that small part of our life when we don't feel amazing about it.
Right.
We just don't get worked up about it. We're just like, this is just, it's okay not to love this. There's nothing wrong with not loving this.
It seems that my period, or the week before, is when I get PMS. And that is when I go right, you know, and it's not just about that. It's about other things. But that seems to be the worst time that I just can sense myself feeling bad for myself. But
mine is always, always, always the day of. I will wake up tomorrow. If it starts tomorrow, I will wake up and I will be sad and I will look at something. Like, Lucy will make biscuits on me and I will bawl. There's just like, oh my God, my cat will die one day and I won't have her. I mean, it'll just be, I'm like, where is all this coming from?
I feel like a crazy person. I feel like somebody has taken over. I do not care for it because I never had PMS to this last year.
Are you in your 40s?
44.
Me too, 44. I swear to God, since I turned my 40s, my periods got really wacky, large and in charge, and my moods are insane. Like,
yeah.
It makes Chris laugh because, like, I'm sitting around bitching about having to wear a diaper and, like, I carry towels around with me. He's like, it's that time of the month again. And I'm like, yeah, I have a towel and a pair of panties on. You know what's going on. Like, don't talk to me.
My husband's quite understanding. When I, like, lose it for no reason, he's just like, okay, I know what's going on. So at least he's, great. That makes me feel better because I felt like there was something wrong for me for feeling bad, you know, all the things.
So no, we're all supposed to feel bad sometimes. That's just the way it goes. So,
okay.
Well, I'll see you in two weeks with your little party train.
Yeah. And I hope your husband gets home okay out of the rain.
Yes.
You've been on the phone all day long. You need to go take a break, I think.
This was the last one. I have one short video I have to shoot, and then I am done. I swear to God, I'm going upstairs, and I'm going to watch either the news. I'm going to find something mindless on television. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be mindless. So.
Yeah, well, I will see you in Nashville real, real soon, and I cannot wait.
All right, lady. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. All right, everyone, that's it for tonight. Oh, my thingy's not doing. Y'all have a good one. I will be, this is Queen's Club, so I'll see you guys next month. And then I think I'm coaching on Sunday. If y'all want to catch me at noon at Central Time on Sunday, I'll be there. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.